talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Aight, time to start Nerd Talk. That's not how you do that. Welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor, and giving up a sure thing to try and join a dying medium, he's Siege from the East.
Hi, Gregor.
Brandon threatened to record some things that we could put in here so he could still be in it, but I haven't heard anything from him yet, so I think he was just teasing us. He's not back this week. After one mega episode, he out. So, anyway, neither Siege or I is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong or potentially what even we might get right. And if you can help spread the word about the show, that's really what helps us the most, whether you leave a comment on whatever you listen to it or you tell a friend that you listen to these dumb idiots that you like from something else and they do something silly here. That's great. I would appreciate all of that.
We did get a review this week.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of town. Somebody's doing the homework.
Well, Brandon wasn't here, so somebody had to do it.
Yeah, thank
Damn
you.
Damn it, Brandon. Yeah, it's actually from our buddy rock guru, Damon Stewart.
Hey!
Shout out to you, Damon.
Oh, that makes my heart so full. I went from being like pretty bummed out to feeling pretty great.
This is a good one,
unless it's a one-star review and he's like, this is the worst podcast. Shut up.
He actually gave five horn fingers.
Yeah, cool.
So it's big chubby. Who knew nerds could be so fun and funny? Not me, until now. The wit, humor, and education undeniably rich. Five rock horns for the win. Thanks, Damon.
Damon, you're the best. I can tell that we're going to get like 1,000 new subscribers just from that review alone. That's
all we needed.
And in lieu of the question of the week this week, my question of the week is, Siege, what's going on, dog?
Man, just a whole lot of craziness all at the same time. I mean, we left last week with ruminating about the things going on in our lives. And one of them was I might be getting a job with Connecticut School of Broadcasting. And literally right after we stopped the show yesterday, I got an email got an email that said, hey, we're introducing our new instructor on podcasting, streaming, live streaming, and voiceovers. And I was just like, oh, that's me. I didn't even know I got the job.
Oh, hi. I would like to do it. Well, congratulations. That's nice.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
That's good.
How about you, buddy?
I'm still trying to recover from last week's episode. We like went weird places and it was amazing. And, you know, I just because he's not here and we could talk bad about him. I just want to say that I have missed hearing Brandon.
Yeah,
he's got
absolutely.
Such a unique, quick sense of humor that is like, you know, it's like a good person saying naughty things. He's not like bad. He's like a good dude that's saying things that like you're not supposed to say out loud, but it's funny when you do. Mm-hmm. And I just texted him and I was like, Mike, you might be, no offense to Siege or whatever, but I was like, you might be the funniest person I know.
His timing and the angles that he looks at everything with is just absolutely ridiculous.
What a G. So if you're not following Brandon, you can follow him. Go to Nerd Talk Plus, where you can find social media links for all three of us.
Oh my goodness. No, you put me on there?
Now the joke's over.
The joke is over now.
Today I was thinking about it and feeling badly, and I went and corrected it, and then I felt nice. So that's nice. So nerdtalkplus.com if you want to find how to socialize with any of us, or if you want a link to this this week's episode or whatever, you got something to say about the question of the week, hit us or whatever. That's a great way to do it, even though there isn't one. Now, Siege, I know you dabble in improv, you dabble in stand-up comedy and other things, including teaching all kinds of broadcasting stuff at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting in Miami, Florida. But I had a chance to hang out with like a legit stand-up comedian this week. He's a guy I did radio with a million years ago when he was in town. He's called Dan Soder. Are you familiar with Mr. Dan Soder?
I am familiar with Mr. Dan Soder. He's actually one of my favorites to listen to.
Dan is, it's really hard for me, and I hope he never hears this because I don't want him to, every time I've ever said anything about his comedy, it's always like derailed him. And then it's like, I have to wait till the next time I see him to feel like I didn't screw up his life. One time I was like, you know who I think's ripping you off? This other guy. And he was like, oh, come on. Oh, and he like spiraled out. I was like, I said he's ripping you off. Like, that's a compliment that I think that other people are, trying to copy your style, dude. Anyway, Dan is the best, and he was in town, and forever I've known Dan for 20 something years. We did radio together in Tucson before he was a even a working
megastar. So,
yeah, and so now Dan is he did a Sirius XM show for a long time with Big J. He's off that. He did 7 seasons of Billions on Showtime. He was McPhee or something like that. I don't remember what the name is. I didn't watch it because the show's not really for me, but pumped that my friend was on it. Always reshared the social media that he put out. Great. But I have a hard time seeing him live performing because I'm like, that's just my friend who was talking to me. And now he's acting like he's like doing a not acting, but like doing a like a he has an act that he's up there performing. And I got to tell you, with all these distractions out of the way, I saw him play the Neptune Theater, which was great. And he absolutely was just 100% himself, just killing it up there. And, you know, I've seen great shows from him before and everything, but it was the first time where I was like, oh, my God, this is like we're getting full Dan. Or he's like really masked it. It's no longer, oh, I can't wait till he's done so I can talk to my dumb friend. I was like, my dumb friend is amazing. And so just that guy deserves all the love and respect, especially since he's like dropping all the other paychecks that he was getting so he can go only stand-up comedy. And to be able to have that opportunity is just so rad. So everyone give Dan Soder a follow and don't tell him I said any of these things because it'll make him upset, I think. And then I'll have to apologize. And he'll be like, no, it's okay, buddy. Don't worry. And then I'll be like, okay. Well. Also, two giants of the radio industry, literally both of us over 6'4". So literally radio giants. Anyway. Also, Jill List put out a stand-up comedy album last Friday. And I recommend everybody watches it because if you want to see somebody zero in on all the wrong things and make the best special, it's just so good. The amount of time that he spends with the non-essential parts of doing stand-up comedy make it it's brilliant. It's just brilliant. I can't stop thinking about it. I have to watch it again. It's I've been putting it on YouTube in the car, just not watching it, but just having it play through the speakers while I'm driving because I just can't get enough of it. So he always says, the most you can do to help me is tell someone else to listen to it. Joe List on YouTube just put out a special. I can't remember what it's called. He'll love that. But it came out 9 days ago, so it should be easy to find. But Joe List, look that up. And maybe I'll even remember to do some social media after this and share something. So, how's your you've been getting on stage all?
I think he's actually on. Oh, sorry about that.
No, fine. Go.
Crossing up here. I think he's actually got a special on Netflix as well now, too. Joe List is awesome. He's like one of those guys. He's in the vein of Brandon, who's stealing everybody's stuff, obviously. looks at everything from like such a different angle. Instead of looking at it from the front or the side, he's like underneath from the back. I mean, it's focuses on one special detail that just like throws everything completely off. It's brilliant. I love the way he does stuff.
So have you been getting on stage at all? Have you been doing anything? Is there any fun happening?
Well, since I've been in school and trying to focus so much on, rejoining a dying medium, I haven't been getting up nearly as much as I have been, but I have been doing a lot of improv. We did a SuperCon, and UltraCon is actually UltraCon in West Palm Beach this weekend is coming up. And I've joined a professional studio that redoes voiceovers and voice acting for translating of foreign language anime.
Oh, so, get me in on that. How do I do very that? Soon,
oh, I can totally get you in on that. I'll put in a good word for you. I just it's based in Miami, and it's a lot of foreign language anime. Like there's stuff from Brazil, there's stuff like from places that you don't even think of that have like anime and full on cartoons, and they need to be translated into English for people to watch them. And I'm now joining the squad. So
that's awesome, man. Congratulations. That's really cool. Speaking of improv, you sent me a video that had to deal with orca milk and making cheese out of it. Not exactly, but there was just a big, huge orca dong in the middle of it. Oh, spoiler alert. If Siege posted the video, you have to watch it now. Not surprised. It is very surprising, just to be fair, whatever. But I want to figure out how we can create a... This is probably off-the-air type stuff, but I don't care. I want to figure out how we can create a back-and-forth video every week where we just make dumb crap and then use it to promote Nerd Talk. And so I don't know if like the idea of it being kind of an improv thing where someone just sends somebody else a video clip as a setup or as a premise or whatever, and then you just have to respond and we go back 3 or 4 times until we have a finished clip and then post it. But where there's no premeditation to it. Like, I just want to see where we can go. And I bet you it'll be pretty bad, but like, I wonder if we can make something funny out of it.
Well, see, the one thing I do when I do teach improv is make it worse. You know, if it's bad, make it worse. If it's good, you know, go ahead and build it up, whatever. You know, take the gift and just run with it. But yeah, absolutely. We should definitely do this. And the best improv is don't think. Just don't come in with any pre-planned idea, whatever. And just show up. Whatever just lands in your lap, just take it and just run with it. Do something completely built on top of it.
I think everyone could benefit from an improv class, honestly. Even professional improv people could benefit from it because it teaches you these like really important things like trust. Like you have to be in an environment where you can trust everybody. And then you also have to listen.
Everything you do, every conversation that you have every single day is improv. Everything. Every time you talk to somebody, unless you're pre-planning your responses, how do you think everybody gets in arguments and whatever else like that? You know, if you're not listening, you can't have a good conversation. It's the basic form of everything that you do, only you take it and you just make it weird.
Yeah, exactly. And so like I consider myself an absurdist. And so I'm hard to do improv with because I say ridiculous things that are hard to come back from. But somebody who's willing to go there and, as you say, make it worse can do it because I can bring up a pterodactyl, but you can talk about a pterodactyl humping your face. And
absolutely.
So it's like, yeah, it's like easy to drop whatever the nonsensical thing I say is and just, you know, apply it to a normal situation or whatever. It's not easy. But what I'm saying is that improv allows you to be yourself to your fullest, which
exactly.
I think is really important. So maybe that'll be something that we do. And maybe like if anyone ever has a starter or something like that they want to send to one of us on like Instagram.
If you've
or something
got
like
a prompt, if you've got like let's do it the way that we do in an improv. So if you've got a word.
Yeah.
Let's do it this way. A place.
Sure.
A thing. Mm-hmm. And an event that would never happen in that place. Say like if you're in a donut shop with a sledgehammer and a volcano erupts inside. Boom. There you go. Boom. That's how we start.
We're off. That's a lot of wasted donuts, dude. I'm upset about this premise already.
Absolutely. You just use the sledgehammer to beat the volcano back down so you can get your precious donuts.
And then lava gets on my face and then this beautiful mug is ruined. Somebody told me, oh my God, we got to stop the press. I was out, I went out for the first time in a long time with some friends and we went and saw Cannons, the band, who were excellent. Great job,
Hell
Cannons.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was not supposed to keep going out. I was supposed to go home and be a reasonable human and adult father. But instead, my friend was like, this person that you used to work with, she's going to be out there too. Let's go have fun. And I was like, I can't say no to that. So next thing you know, it's like 1 a.m. or whatever. But she, much younger than I will point out, was like, oh, stop it, Greg. You're the cutest. And I was like, you're not allowed to say that to me because I'm in a weird place and you have to mean that stuff if you're going to say it. And she's like, no. Like in a non-flirtatious way, I got a compliment that was just genuine. And I was like, I don't even know what to do with my hands right now. This is incredible. So the message is that if you can compliment me at any given time, no, if you can compliment somebody else that doesn't see it coming for something that you actually think about them, it is a huge benefit to everybody involved. I'm still riding that high from that. Isn't that nice?
That's great. I love that for you.
Yeah,
you handsome devil.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, speaking of which, I was reading a real bummer of a story, Telegraph, about the path of record companies. I do not like this at all.
Oh,
their
A&R
departments are turning from hitting the streets to put ears and eyes on musicians doing cool stuff to just having AI scouring data of streaming platforms and, you know, trying to find the next popular thing. It's inherently flawed because, like, performance and charisma aren't always like learnable. And so lots of times like an artist will be awesome at writing the songs and then they will write a song for somebody else because they do have that charisma or performance ability or whatever. But on the internet, you can hide behind your cameras and your everything else and make cool stuff. And I'm not opposed to that. I just think that it's not a perfect system that they're looking for. And it's like, our radio station isn't even immune to that. 24K Golden, that song Mood, that was like straight up not supposed to be on our station, but it was such a hit. And he had billions of spins on like the TikToks of the world. And like, yeah, it's just hard to like watch that go by and not get a piece of that, right?
Yeah.
So, so having a, like, it's more than ever now, we need that like record store friend, that music snob. that's going to be even more critical of like music and want you to discover the songs that they found, not the ones that are by rote. I have a friend who like hits me up periodically and he's like, you need to listen to this band. And I go, whatever. And then 3 years later, I'm like, did you know that that band that you suggested 3 years ago is awesome? And he's like, yeah, that's why I suggested it to you, you idiot. And like, I just don't know that a robot understands the subtleties of like what music is going to do to people. Like, why is Coldplay? It's not like their songs are super amazing or like anything that special compared to other people that write similar songs. The Red Hot Chili Peppers and Coldplay are basically the same band with just different attitudes. And they both play the same big giant stadiums and stuff like that. And that's great. And I don't resent either of them for it. I just want the subtleties of the differences in music is like something that I think robots aren't ready to handle yet.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about robots and AI and you're going through, they're trying to break the new stuff. If they're going by TikTok and they're going by like the 15-second clips, it's literally just a bite. They're going for a sound bite that is being used over and over and over again and just being eaten up. But there's an entire radio station somewhere that is just straight up TikTok songs.
Yeah.
Songs that are blowing up on TikTok. And I get it. Like with some of these things, some of them are good, but a lot of them are literally just that 15-second clip. And then the rest of it is like, what in the hell is going on here?
Yeah, not everything can be Radiohead and Kendrick Lamar, you know,
absolutely.
Which is awesome. But like, there's a lot of 10, 15 second little earworms that get out there, and it's not, I don't know, again, you wrote a cool hook, and I don't think that that's bad. It's just that there's like a whole team of people and undiscovered people and people in their bedrooms and people with like doom rock bands and stuff that are like trying to make more than just 10 second snippets, but we're just making that more difficult for everyone to access. However, that being said, you put enough people that aren't writing TikTok music to the sides and suddenly you're going to have a lot of people who aren't going to make TikTok music and you're going to be ignoring like a potential for revenue probably. And then like, the metalheads are going to get together and do their own thing, which they've done anyway or whatever, but there's going to be a backlash to it. And so now my question for you is, can the AI get smart enough to be able to actually understand what it is that I actually do like?
This is the thing with the AI that I've had the problem with since they started taking, you know, they're going to take our jobs and they're going to be able to write this and they're going to write comedy and they're going to change this. I mean, you remember back with the AI Tom Brady stand-up comedy hour.
Oh my God, it was awesome.
Oh my God, it was so terrible. It was amazing. So terrible.
Yeah. No, the premise is what's good, not the actual performance. It's just like, or that Seinfeld thing where they had the, you know,
yes.
Doing the AI thing on Twitch, and then it started doing like transphobic stuff, and they're like, "Oh, okay, well, we can't have that."
Yeah, we're gonna have to back that off a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Let's reboot this. And so, but once it figures that out,
you've heard the one where it tries to play the Beatles songs, right? There's a lack of soul to it. Is palpable to somebody who gets the actual feeling. Like with music, for guys like you and me, like who just live and breathe this kind of stuff, and you just feel it in your chest. You feel that warmth. You like have the rush come over your face and everything.
Yeah, it's chemical.
Yeah, you don't get that. And there's no way a computer can learn that chemical unless, like, you know, we get the Elon chip in the brain.
The thing I start to worry about is, what about the person who doesn't like music? Like, that just likes music because it's on and then you can bop around to it, but you don't care what the current star is. You don't, like, you just like, I love music. Well, what kind of music do you like? All of it?
Yeah.
Like, no, you don't, because I got a whole collection of stuff that you ain't going to like. But, but like, if that person can, if you could play we'll just call this the, I don't know, kind of like the breadth of America. Like if a majority of the culture, which is not engaged actively in music and what makes it interesting other than like a social aspect or like a, you know, you go to a music festival, it's just fun to be there and there's a beat and you can feel it and you get drunk a little bit, fine. But like when you access that, what Top 40 does all the time Top 40 gets the music snobs too, don't get me wrong, because it's like really well produced and well done because they need it to be, so it'll be successful and generate revenue. But if if you can get enough dummies, which is call them sub dummies, if you can get enough dummies to engage in it, then how good does the AI have to be? Like, how close to a Beatles song do you have to get before someone's like, I like this. This is fun.
Well, I mean, fun and actually just like diving into it and enjoying, like feeling the soul of it. Yeah. Is like, you know, I mean, I guess that's me being like music snobberish and like gatekeepery, but I mean, when it comes to
what
music,
do you do? You're gatekeeping the robots?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
get out of here, robots.
See, listen, you know me, and I welcome our robot overlords. Sure, but sure. In this particular case, you can't do it on your own. It's one of those things. It's like there's that feeling. But yeah, they can analyze a beat. They can, it's like, think about what some of the other major streaming companies do when they form the playlists for you. Yeah. And they just analyze the, it's literally what they do is they analyze the beats of the songs and the rhythm and everything else like that. And they just build a list based off of that. I mean,
Joe List,
God, you can
watch a special on YouTube, Joe List, everybody.
Yeah. And you could literally just sit there and they'll analyze Black Eyed Peas for God knows how long. And, you know, everybody will find something that's just like catchy. There's something that's going to slap. There's a bop in there somewhere. But finding the music with the soul, that's the difference for, I guess, me, I guess.
I wish I could find it right now, but I'm not going to because it would take too much pausing. But I saw a guy talking about today, and I missed this story when it actually happened, but remember when people were getting sued by people for sampling their songs, and it's like, too close, that Chili Pepper song is too close to that other old dead guy's song, and that's not okay, let's sue him, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Sorry to pick on the Chili Peppers, that's no just random name. There was a team of computer scientists, and they were like, let's create a robot that can create every known melodic combination that we can possibly generate, 4 billion something of these things. And I hear that and I'm like, I don't like where this is going. And then they're like, let's record each of those melodies and then let's put the hard drives in storage or whatever. And so when we record them, we can register them as our own and we'll register them to the public domain. So anytime I write a song that sounds like someone else's song, now there's a recording of it where these guys are like, no, we actually registered it. It's in the public domain. You can use it however you want. They're protecting artists from sounding like one another and the music industry not fighting to squash people making music out of it. So there's like a positive there that guys used software and AI to be able to figure out what all the combinations could be. And then they were like, now no one can F you. Like if you write a great song and it sounds a little too much like this one, well, tough. Eat a wiener there, other band that's like, you know, that's trying to milk this system. Which I can understand if you wrote like a cool riff and someone gets a little too close to it, you might be a little grumpy about it. But also like encourage art, man.
Absolutely. Like I thought like, to be perfectly honest with you, when these things started happening, like what was the first big one? Wasn't it like Pharrell that they were trying to sue? And it was
something. Yeah. One of those. Yeah.
And I know the thing with Ed Sheeran just now where he actually like got up and played in court. And you go back to that stuff. It makes me think of like Vanilla Ice where it's like, oh, no, Queen was dun 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 dun, and we were dun 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 dun. And it's give me a break. But at the same time, it's like I thought all that stuff was covered under the cover rules, like where you can't sue somebody for making their own
art form. They just want to cut, though. That's just it. It's like you have to change it significantly enough. I'm playing fast and loose right here, but like with graphic design and stuff like that, it can't be more than 2/3 the same if you want to call it your own work or whatever. So if you're really going to take that Nike logo and change it, you're going to have to like make it significant enough that it's 2/3 different. And what's the measure of that? AI?
So, yeah, thank you. Again, we are not lawyers and we don't propose to be, but we are supervillains today.
Yes, hello. We should have led with this. I don't know what I was thinking, Siege. It just made more sense the other way. But we hear a lot about how in the near future, what? I haven't been drinking either. We hear a lot about how in the near future we'll be able to have brain implants improving lives. And this is actually pretty cool. Like, I just was watching Metallica play One at SoFi Stadium on their current tour. And, you know, One is about a guy getting locked in where he can't talk or he can't communicate at all. So he's just like having his limbs blown off. He's just now trapped in this body where he can't communicate. And so the ability to be able to talk for those who have lost it are like a Stephen Hawking type or you know, ALS specifically, like people get locked in. I have a cousin with cerebral palsy and he can't talk. And so if you could have, give those people the ability to do it, that'd be awesome. Or like you go full Darth Vader and make prosthetics work to be able to like control the digits on your Luke Skywalker hand. Okay. That's awesome too. And you're going to need computers to interface with human brains. Okay. But then of course somebody had to go and, someone had to siege it.
I like being a verb.
And they jumped into the world of mind-controlled adult toys. And
yes.
I won't go much deeper than that. Well, bad choice of words. I won't more than that into how this is going to work. But it really opens up a lot of weirdness. And
another good choice of words.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me, has anyone seen, and I guess I'm only talking to you, has anyone seen Demolition Man, where Sylvester Stallone goes into the future and then they do they have the sex, but there's no actual physical contact. And he's like, well, this is dumb. Like, I don't know. If you had like a mind-controlled parts.
Do the Hunka Chunka, the Mava Mambo.
It's the weird part, though, is that like let's just say the dildo starts hitting your partner like a bat and you're like, what? What's going on? Like, I'm thinking a baseball. Like, I'm sorry.
The Mariners are in first.
I try not to finish fast. Anyway, I think that could be fascinating.
Throw back the singles. Steve, don't come yet. Jesus. Shout out to Xavier McDaniel.
I think that, like, the idea of being able to mind control stuff, obviously that gets terribly scary or whatever, but, like, first of all, imagine the OnlyFans that opens up when there's some, I don't know how to say this gently, so I just won't, but when there's, like, a lady, pretty lady that figures out that she can have a mind control device with her at all times and then give the mind control to somebody else, and then you make $1 million on OnlyFans, you know, effectively sexually, I'm not going to finish this thought.
I'll finish it for you. There's actually apps out there right now with toys and everything else like that. I mean, it's far short of implanting a chip, but I mean,
But imagine if it was like a halo that you would put on, like Professor Xavier Cerebro, like you put on the little elf crown and then it like, so it doesn't even have to implant. It just like reads the brain waves.
Man, it's just crazy. Like when at the same time, like right now, I could log on to one of several apps and just start waving my finger on my iPhone screen, and somewhere in Indiana or Pennsylvania or Louisiana starts writhing in their seat. And it's like, all you need is a good Wi-Fi connection and an app anymore. I mean, why do we have to go as far as to get surgery or like to just mess with the brain? I mean, they're just trying to steal all the other thoughts is what they're trying to do.
It's basically, I always say, like, whatever, we've given them everything already. Like, hold up, actually. Giving them their brain waves is another leap further.
Yeah, that's like, just one step too far.
But, like, I can unlock my front door for you. If you, like, showed up at my house and I was at work or whatever, you could, like, text me and be like, unlock your front door. And I could be like, yeah, absolutely. Boop from remote and do that. So why not, you know, butt stuff remote or whatever? Like,
all you need is good Wi-Fi.
I got it. Check.
Fine. I got it. There we go. We're all set.
I got a QR code outside. No big deal. It's like,
if you are looking to have fun with this man here, just scan the code. You get alerted on your wrist.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. But see, it's got to work both ways if it's going to do something like that. If you're going to have the brainwaves where it's just one person working on the other person, I mean, make it some mutual play, not just like the one like pervert like Siege.
To be fair, I haven't read the story all the way. Like, I didn't like dive deep enough into it because I was like, there's no way I can talk about all this without getting fired. So I'll just leave it at the premise there. And so that's on me. But maybe there is. Again, Demolition Man style, like, I bet you that'd be pretty cool if you were like, well, I don't know, actually. I'm disillusioned by the whole world of sex and everything, so never mind. I actually don't care. To the strip club!
To the strip club!
Amazon technology allows you to open an app, scan in, and pick up your stuff without ever having to talk to a human or really go to a register even, right? Have you tried this technology before, Siege?
I actually have the there's a little place over by the Whole Foods that I can actually just run into and just grab a couple of things here and there.
It's actually pretty cool. I think it's rad.
Yeah.
There's a grocery store by me called Amazon Fresh where you can get a shopping cart. And
that's the name of it. Yep.
Yeah. And you put in the, is that the same thing that you're thinking of?
Yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like you put the stuff in the cart, it knows what it is, which is weird. It got it wrong the other day for me, but the price was the same. So I was like, yeah, it's all right. But like you don't ever have to talk to a person, and that's cool. Now I come from a place called, like a wild place called Albuquerque, New Mexico. Are you familiar with this? Bugs Bunny, wrong turn, all that.
It's the Florida of the Southwest.
Yeah, like between, like the, there's like a Florida triangulate between Tucson, Albuquerque, and Phoenix. It's all like, it's like your Tampa, Miami, and Orlando kind of all together.
But a dry heat, yeah.
Yeah, but a dry heat instead of that swamp heat that you can't make your car work right at any time of day. The Taco Bell windows just fogged up in Florida all the time. I just don't even begin to understand how that goes. Anyway, in Albuquerque, we had this weird thing called drive-through liquor stores. Nice. Where you didn't even have to get out of your car to start the process of getting a DUI. And to me, that's absolutely bananas. And then I see this story about, you read about it at geekwire.com, a new spot downtown in Seattle where you can walk in with an app and walk out with your booze.
Oh, nice.
You don't really ever have to socialize. I like socializing with the people because I like pretending like I can tell the difference between bourbons and that I am not just full of it.
Sir, that's tequila.
I'm pretty good. Yeah. Like, oh no, that's the bourbon worm. Like, no, that's sir. No.
The bourbon worm.
Yeah. So like, you know, I guess I've bought a beer that way at a Sounders match or a Kraken game. That's like, and that doesn't get to be too problematic, but there's just something about like unsupervised, like booze purchasing that to me scratches that nostalgia button in my brain from drive-through liquor stores. There was this one in Tucson. It was on whatever street, and that's not what it's actually called. But it was.
I was gonna say that's awesome.
I can't remember if it was First or Euclid or you know it was one of these streets. But you drive by and they just had an old like military tank sitting out front, and it was just like, oh yeah, you want to go to that tank liquor store? And like about two out of three times, they wouldn't check your ID if you did the drive-through there, and they would just like we were like 19 buying like way too much booze, and it like we'd go through like more than one car at a time to see who could get through. This is pre-Venmo though, so you couldn't just shoot the money over to the next people. You had to like plan it ahead a little bit, but we never had any problem getting booze, and this just seems like the next step in that progression of just being like, I'll just get booze real easy without having to ever prove anything. But then again, people just are like, you know, taking over like the Target downtown in Seattle. People literally just walk in and walk out with whatever they want. And there's no anything that happens as a consequence. So like,
yeah, I mean, the self-service checkout is literally just, you know, scan one thing and then leave.
It's gotten to the point where it's like, scan? Nah, I don't got time.
Just walk out with a handful, cartful. But yeah, when it comes to the booze stuff, like you were saying, I mean, when I do it at the Sounders games, I mean, there's always people at the front and the back of the line. They only allow three people at the section at the same time, and like you can only grab the two beers, and it won't let you do this or that or the other thing. I can't think of a liquor store. Like, we've got big old liquor stores around here. I mean, it is Florida. Like, and I cannot imagine, because they're always packed too. Like, there's going to be somebody grabbing and running or something like that. And I'm surprised that we don't have drive-through liquor down here. I mean, we used to, at the mall, we always had, like, Taco Viva, in the food court, the mall food court, Taco Viva sold beer all the time. And I know when I used to be in Louisiana, like, every other weekend, it was, they had the drive-through drinks too, and the way that they got away, they
would store.
They would actually do it like with the coffee cups, like how a Starbucks has it with like the little hole in the top of it, but they would put a little piece of tape over the top of the little sippy hole.
Don't
and
you dare.
That's how they did it. Yeah, exactly. They look a little wink and a smile at you out the window. It's like, now you don't drink that until you get home there.
You hear?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. We do weird stuff. Humans are we choose like really strange, you know, fights to have with one another when they're like,
why are we inventing the robots to do some of these things? You know, it's it's like we pick the weirdest battles to do this stuff. It's like the robots are here to allow us to get liquor easier, to allow us to not interact with somebody who can tell if we're drunk or not and kind of cut us off. Like, well, let's leave that layer out of it.
Well, CJ, we like to talk about a lot of the scary, you know, AI stuff and the weird technology and stuff like that. Sometimes good wiener stuff, though, too. That was some pretty good
absolutely
sex toy
talk. Always
some
good wiener stuff in there.
But I like to find a story to end on that might actually give us a little potential, you know, end this the show on a positive to balance out all the terrible stuff. A chemist / scientist in Texas. Hold on. I have a new compliment that I'm saying from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and if you hear me say it to you, just know that I'm very proud of myself when I do. I'm now calling people a brilliant detective / genius whenever they do something I approve of, or if I do something I approve of, I'm now saying I am a brilliant detective / genius.
I love it.
If you get that from me, just know I'm very proud of myself and probably think that you're cool too. Anyway, a chemist / genius, no, / scientist in Texas has a plan to use insect shells to make a plastic that biodegrades more naturally and rapidly. That sounds pretty cool unless you're an insect, I guess, but especially since like millions of species are dying off every decade or whatever. But I want to know kind of like what led to the path like that being explored. Like, did she find an old half-decayed praying mantis missing a head? And she's like, yeah, that's the battle armor I want. Only we'll make a helmet too. Ha ha ha. Yeah, it's like poor insects, like you hit them with the pesticide, then we're like, let's use their dead bug bodies to package our crap. That sounds really good. I don't know if we could...
Sorry. We need the ultimate chemicals just, you know, woven into their bodies before we could wrap our own goods in them and ship them to ourselves.
Yeah. Have them drone delivered via Walmart, who's starting that process in Texas here in the next few weeks. But it would be like, it would be cool if we could get away from plastics made of like petroleum that, you know, maybe stop killing the ocean quite as quickly so that the reefs on the coast of Florida are all being bleached. So that's not great. The bottom line, though, is that I said I was going to end on a positive, but here we go. I don't think anyone really cares just as long as we get our stuff overnight. Like, it used to be like essential that Amazon get you your stuff in 2 days. And now it's pretty much like, it needs to be here tomorrow, Amazon. Like, let's step it up here. So for like us thinking about like, no one thinks about that process and how terrible it is. So like some plastic containers, we're never going to give a crap about that.
No, absolutely not. And for all we know, like the way that these bugs are dying is probably from eating plastics in the giant garbage patch in the Pacific Ocean. They're filled with little microplastics. They die that way. So, I mean, it's basically recycling.
Oh, hey.
There we
That's
go.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
That's a positive right. note.
Yeah, we're saving the world. Okay.
It's That's what good. We do here.
Let's ask ChatGPT. Oh, gosh. What did I say it was last week in French?
ChatGPT.
Like, but it's like fart in my mouth or something like that.
It's cat fart in my mouth. ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah. La Chat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Because I learned that about my cats. Okay. What does it mean that. What are the microplastics called? Like microplastic.
Microplastic.
Can cross the human. No, the blood. The brain bloodline. Is that what it is?
Ooh, yeah.
Threshold for a 5-year-old. In 25 words. There we go.
In 25 words.
Microplastics crossing the brain-blood barrier implies that tiny plastic particles can breach brain's protective barrier, potentially impacting neurological health by entering brain tissue and causing harm. I feel like we'll just like figure out how to make plastic out of drugs soon, and then it'll just be like everyone will be pumped all the time.
We're already building houses out of dirty diapers. Why not?
That's a good nerd talk callback, man. That's
yeah.
That was one of the times I got more people at my work grossed out than any other time. I have to send a weekly email with some, usually try and do a little story from Nerd Talk Plus on it. And that was one of them. This week it was, I saw a video of a guy literally taking a piece of gum off of the gum wall and putting it into his own mouth. I've never wished someone would choke to death more than right then. I was like, we don't actually need you on this planet. I actually mean you no offense, sir. But we do not, you are not a part of the solution.
You're actively bringing us down.
Yeah, like right there. This is the example of how we've all gone wrong.
I'm so sorry, sir. Thank you for your contribution, but you need to leave.
Okay, well, thanks for listening to Nerd Talk Plus this week. I got to apologize. I'm in like a mood, and I don't know what my deal is. This should have been way sillier. And
are you cranky, Gregor?
Nah, just life sucks, and like it's hard to show up and be like, hooray. I caught myself there several times being kind of a bummer, and I was like, dude, don't be a bummer. Just say stupid stuff. You call yourself an absurdist, and you're just complaining about the music industry. Like, no. That's not productive. So, but if we could record it again, I would, just so you know.
You know what, though? You're very handsome.
Hey, there it is. She said I was cute, which makes me feel young. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah! 10 a.m. Tuesday mornings, we do this live on the Odyssey app, streaming there, and then you can find it on the podcast provider of your choice. Specifically, the Odyssey app would be a great place to get it. I usually try to put it up Tuesday, but sometimes it's Thursday, sometimes I don't click the right button and it goes terribly wrong, and I don't know. Hey, Siege, thanks for your time, buddy.
Anytime, brother.
I'm Gregor. Thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus.